This morning we're reading from the fourth canto, chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices, text number 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and he is the proprietor of all planets and the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. He was personally present at the sacrifices made by King Prithu. Purport. In this verse, the word Shakshat is very significant. Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktyavesh avatar incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Actually, Prithu Maharaj was a living entity, but he acquired specific powers from Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, however, is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus belongs to the category of Vishnu Tattva. Maharaj Prithu belonged to the Jiva Tattva. The Vishnu Tattva indicates God, whereas the Jiva Tattva indicates the part and parcel of God. When God's part and parcel is especially empowered, he is called Shaktyavesh Avatar. Lord Vishnu is herein described as Hariyar Ishwara. The Lord is so kind that he takes all miserable conditions away from his devotees. Consequently, he is called Hari. He is described as Ishwara because he can do whatever he likes. He is the supreme controller. The supreme Ishwara Purushottama is Lord Krishna. He exhibits his powers as Ishwara, or the supreme controller, when he assures his devotee in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear." He can immediately make his devotee immune from all the reactions caused by sinful life if the devotee simply surrenders unto him. He is described herein as Sarvatma, meaning that he is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and as such he is the supreme teacher of everyone. If we are fortunate enough to take lessons given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, our lives immediately become successful. No one can give better instructions to human society than Lord Krishna. Yatra yagyapati shakshad bhagavan harir ishwara unva bhuyat sarvatma sarva loka guru prabhu. Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and he is the proprietor of all planets and the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. He was personally present at the sacrifices made by King Prithu. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, the Vishnu Tattva indicates God, whereas the Jiva Tattva indicates the part and parcel of God. So there is an eternal relationship between God and the living entity, sa nitya nitya sambandha, prakritya sa paraivacha, that both are para prakriti energy. But of course, the Lord is the origin and the controller, as described here, Bhagavan Hariyar Ishwara. And the living entity is the servant. And even in the material world, where the relationship seems to be obscured, the living entity, even in Denmark, the living entities are eternally connected with Krishna. Even in this material world, even in Denmark. Samani vrikshe purusho namagno nishya sotshiti muhyamana justam yada pashyati samasha Mahimanam ita vita shoka. So, the Upanishads describe this material body to be like a tree, and within the tree there are two birds, and one is the Paramatma, Lord Vishnu, and he is Upadrashta Anumanta. He is the overseer and permitter. He is the foundation of consciousness and guidance from within throughout the whole existence. So then also within this tree, there is the living entity, and his interest is to taste the fruits that are growing from this tree. These fruits are sukha dukkha. There is happiness and distress coming from our activities in this body. So the conditioned soul is very much interested, inclined to taste these. And thus, He is sometimes suffering and sometimes enjoying. And throughout all of this, the Lord is witnessing. And the Lord is permitting that yes, you may taste this fruit because you have the karma. You have enough karma to be able to taste this particular kind of fruit. Or no, you cannot taste that fruit now. So the living entity in this way is suffering and enjoying, and this goes on perpetually until he turns his face to the Lord, who is his master. And then immediately upon leaving aside this business of fruit tasting, he contemplates the transcendental form of the Lord. Then immediately he becomes relieved from all anxiety. So then someone may question, well, but what about activity? This sounds very meditative, contemplative. But the living entity is situated within this tree of the body. The living entity is active. So what does it mean to turn within and gaze upon the form of the Lord? What about our activities then? So activities continue, but as Sri Krishna says, yasya sarva samarambha kama sankalpa varjita. We may continue in our activities, but there cannot be any trace of this desire for sense gratification. In other words, activities go on, but without the business of tasting these fruits, either pleasant or unpleasant. So, this is actually a very, very profound point, which separates the process of bhakti yoga from all other processes of elevation. The bhakti yogi, he understands one thing that nobody else understands. That is described by Krishna to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, mentioning a list of things. Evam gadi, first of all. So, gadi refers to power of speech. And then karma. Evam gadi karma. Karma means the work specifically done with hands and legs. Evam gadi karma gatir. Gatir means going places. And visharga. Visharga refers to procreation, reproduction, activities of the sex organs. Then, ghana means the sense of smell. Sense of smell and rasa, taste, drik, seeing, and hearing. Yes, and sparsha, touch. So all these sense activities. And then sankalpa, action of the mind. And vijnana, action of the intellect. And atta bhimana, the false ego. And then, Hare Krishna, sutram, the pradana, unmanifested material energy. And raja sattva tamo vikara. And the fluctuations of the modes of nature. So this list is encompassing all material experience. From the actions of the senses that we are now very familiar with, all the way up to the modes of nature as they are manifesting out of pradhan. So, Sri Krishna says that all of this has to be seen as my external form. The internal form is that of Paramatma within the heart. And we are also there within the heart as spirit soul. And the external form of Krishna is this entire cosmic manifestation, including our own sense activities. So Sri Krishna says, this is the vision of the devotee. This is actually what is required, this vision, in order to become truly liberated from material entanglement. And Sri Krishna also tells Uddhava that yavat syat guna vishamya tavan nanatmat tatmana, that if one sees the actions of material energy as something separate from Krishna, then this is the way that the soul transmigrates. This is the way that the soul becomes entangled in repeated birth and death. By seeing these sensory functions as something different from Krishna. Now, for Krishna, there is no difference between this material energy and his spiritual energy. Because as in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is compared to the soil. We mentioned this from Upanishads, this example of the tree. So the tree is growing from the soil, from the ground. And the ground also represents the Supreme Lord. So he's the origin of everything. There are all different kinds of trees and fruit trees and vegetables and nut trees and flowers, all kinds of different plants grow up from the soil. So for Krishna, it's all the same. Krishna, aham savasya prabhavo, mattak sarvam pavartate. He's the origin of both spirit and matter. So he can appear, he's always there within the spiritual energy, displaying his pastimes. And he appears also within this material energy. Janma karma, chame divyam. My appearance and my activities in this material existence are divyam. They are transcendental. So, the only circumstance in which some conception of difference arises is in the vision of the living entity. The living entity who is afflicted by this enjoying spirit. Just like in this example, garden, so many trees and plants and so on growing out of the soil. So one who thinks he's the enjoyer of this garden, then he's going around making distinction. He's smelling this plant and thinking, I like that. He's tasting this fruit, I don't like that. So he's making distinction. But for Krishna, it's all the same. So the vision of the devotee has to be in accord with Krishna's vision. The vision of the devotee actually also does not make distinction ultimately between spirit and matter. Because the devotee sees spirit as being that which is engaged in Krishna's service. So what is not engaged in Krishna's service? Nothing. Because everything is his energy. The only problem is that there are some living entities who have a different opinion. These are the duskritinas in this material world. These are the non-devotees. So therefore, Krishna, he appears in this world to correct them. And also to deliver his devotees. So this is the reason for Krishna's appearance. Because some rascals, they think differently. They think, no, the material energy is not for Krishna's service. It's meant for my service. So then Krishna descends. In displaying his lila, he corrects their illusion, perhaps by killing them, thus liberating them from illusion, or perhaps by giving them shelter at his lotus feet. And similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they also appear in this world to preach for the same purpose. So just as Krishna's appearance and activities, because he's coming without, he's descending in this material world without any interest in enjoying the fruits. He's just coming to correct the misguided activities of the conditioned souls. And similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they have the same motivation. So the devotees of the Lord, their activities are also completely transcendental. And for those who think otherwise, they're compared to thieves. In this material world, the spirit soul assumes physical body of gross and subtle elements. This is his clothing, you might say. Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita gives that example. So in this way, by assuming this covering, he can manifest sense activities. Now really, the only purpose for these sense activities is to give him facility to come in contact with the devotees and the Lord, who have come to deliver him. The devotees come to preach, the Lord comes manifesting his lila. So these living entities, conditioned souls, they don't have senses fit to dwell in the spiritual world, but at least they have materially conditioned senses. And the Lord and his devotees, by their mercy, they make themselves visible even to these material senses. And thus, these conditioned souls can receive mercy and come to the point of seeing this entire material manifestation as just being the energy of the Lord. And in this way, become detached from this desire for sense enjoyment and go back home, back to Godhead. But those who think, no, this material covering, these material senses are for me to enjoy, then they're like thieves. But there can be no happiness in their thievery. It's like a story of one man. He went into a shop, department store, and he stole one jacket. This is a true story. And he stole one jacket by putting it on while he was in the store. And then he was leaving the store as if he had walked in with the jacket. And as they reached the door, the jacket suddenly exploded. And then he was caught. The police came. What had happened was is that some terrorists, they were putting bombs in different, small bombs in different stores by inserting, sticking them in the pockets of clothes just to set the stores on fire. So this poor person had chosen to pick one jacket with a bomb in the pocket. And it exploded as he tried to walk out. So this is the condition of all the materialistic souls. They take this sensory covering, this material body, and they try to enjoy it, just like this thief, but it explodes. It old age, disease, death, boom. It explodes. And there they are. They're caught. Caught again by the law of karma in the midst of their fruitive activities. And thus they remain eternally bound in this conditional existence. So we have to simply give up this thieving mentality, and that how to do that is explained here by seeing how Lord Vishnu is present in everyone's heart as super soul, and that he is the proprietor of all planets, and he is the actual enjoyer of the results of all activities, sacrifices.